By the way, Calvary Baptist back home at Clarendon called the man Seth Shipman, called him to be their pastor. They're really excited about it. I'm excited about it for them. And just because they got the pastor called don't mean we can't pray for them as they move forward. Be a big big change. Brother Rob had been there right at 30 years. I lost count of exactly. But so it'd be quite different to have a young 40-something in there pastoring their church. But he'll do good, I bet. If he's God's man, it'll all go well. So Matthew chapter 10, let's begin in verse 16. Get there. Verse 16 tells us, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. For when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Let's just stop right there because we're not going to get any further than that. Just to refresh you and remind you, this text is Jesus reminding putting his disciples and us, of course, today on guard for those that are in the world who would bring persecution against us. And he speaks in this text, we find four different areas that persecution can find its roots in. One is religious groups, two, government, three, our own families, and then last of all, society at large. Now, we've already covered religious groups and the government, so we'll look at family next. But before we look at the family persecution and those dynamics, let's talk a little bit about the meaning of verse 19 and 20, where he tells them that when they're delivered up, to take no thought what to speak, but that it's going to be given to them at that same hour by the Lord what to say. And then it says, it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And so we're not going to spend much time on these verses, because it's really straightforward and simple. But we do want to touch on it briefly. If or when a believer is brought before the courts, it might be, as we've already seen, it could be the religious courts of the Jews in the days of the disciples, or it could be the criminal courts of the state today. And whatever it is, without question, we know that a situation like that would be very stressful. It would be to be accused of wrongdoing, to be arrested like a criminal, in some cases, beaten or abused. It would be a very traumatic situation for anybody to go through that. And the natural response in a situation like that would be to probably maybe lash out, say whatever we have to say to defend ourselves or to get out of the situation. In the very least, we would at least be declaring our innocence in a situation like that. And Jesus assures us here that we're not going to be left high and dry. He's telling us that at times like that, in circumstances like that, that we're not going to be left to ourselves. In a nutshell, he's promising that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit would be with us in circumstances like that, and will give us the appropriate words and the appropriate attitude to have in those situations. Now, a study of history's Christian martyrs, we've talked about this before, and most of you are familiar with the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a history, a documentation of many, obviously not all martyrs throughout history, but many of the martyrs that had died for Christ throughout the centuries. And some of the most powerful testimonies that are ever given were those that were given right at the last moments of of a person's life, a Christian person that was maybe being burned at the stakes or turned loose, the wild animals turned loose on them. They're just tremendous testimonies, and it has to be just exactly what Jesus is talking about here, that the Spirit of God just gave them what was needed at that time, uncanny, if you will, or unnatural grace to withstand during those times and not be overcome by fear or emotion, tears or whatever, but to be able to stand there and testify for the Lord. We find over in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was taken into custody and before his execution being stoned and killed. When he was taken into custody, he delivered, if you'll read it and take time to deliver it, he delivered a tremendous sermon. Now, of course, you know, I don't know that he knew he was about to die when that took place, but he preached a powerful sermon. And of course, when he got to the end of his sermon, they turned on him with stones. And he graciously, if you'll remember, called out to God and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." There again, he had words to say, appropriate words to say, in a very difficult, trying time. You're losing your life. You're being stoned. And the Bible tells us in verse 55 of Acts chapter 7 that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. So the reason he had the words to say, the reason he had such a testimony at that time was because the Holy Spirit was taking control. Being full means to be completely under the influence. He was controlled by the Spirit of God. And so the very thing Jesus has spoken of here, we can read that it happened for Timothy, okay? The Spirit gave Timothy, and he will you and I, if we ever find ourselves in that situation, the presence of mind and the clarity of thought that's needed to present a very powerful testimony, a testimony that would reflect the glory of our Lord, the one we're standing up for. There have been people that have taken that out of context to say that that you could even go out and preach and not have to be prepared because the Spirit of God will give you those answers at times like that. That's not the case, okay? You don't prepare for preach, you don't have a very long ministry, okay? That's Downer 727, okay? You'll find that over there. Okay, here we go. Verse 21. Let's read it. It says, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." And so now we spoke of persecution that comes from the government. We spoke of persecution that comes from religious groups, and now he's speaking of persecution and betrayal that would come at the hands of one's own family members. Now, over in Mark chapter 13, while in that particular text, Jesus was talking about the tribulation, and he repeats the same warning. In that verse, chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Now brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." So it's hard to imagine that level of betrayal, but nothing is beneath the nature of sinful man. I mean, there's no limit to what sinful man can do, and history tells us that by the second century, during the Roman persecutions of the church, this very thing had already been beginning to happen. People, that religious Jews, were persecuting their own family members that had turned to Christ. And of course, then the Roman government had began to persecute. This is before Constantine, so it's before the government embraced Christianity. And the government was out to persecute and execute Christians. And so families were giving up their loved ones and telling off on them, or snitching, or whatever you want to say it. Brothers were betraying brothers, okay, to the civil authorities. Father were betraying children. Children betraying the father and mother, and so forth. And so it can happen. In fact, there are some religions that have the practice of holding an actual funeral for family members that have converted to Christianity. In other words, family members that have chosen to follow Christ, these religious group families with religious belief systems that, hey, this person is converted to Christianity, they're dead to me. And so they actually hold funerals because that person has chosen to leave the religion of the family and follow Christ. To take it a step further, some religious systems even advocate the killing of the family member that has turned to Christ and left the and vacated the family's belief system. Okay, so it's not out of the question. It's certainly not. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that families members can betray one another. It will become commonplace in the end times. Jesus said it would. And so as we approach the end times, it very well can become more prevalent as we go. Now, then we get to the fourth and final source of persecution. After having looked at the family, the next one is that the society at large. Notice verse 22. He says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And so he's simply talking about society in general will turn against us and persecute Christians. Okay, by saying all men, he's not saying or implying that it's going to be a unanimous hatred, that every lost person on earth is going to hate Christianity. He's not saying that. He's simply speaking in a general sense when he says, "And ye shall be hated of all men." He's speaking in a sense of people from all walks of life. People from every angle, if you will hate Christians, and in all classes, all races, all nationalities of the earth will be represented in that sort of persecution. And when it gets right down to it, that makes sense, because really the common denominator behind all persecution is Satan. And so Satan, he speaks all languages. He's not a racist. He'll use any skin color, any nationality. He's not prejudiced in the least, and his influence and his power is not going to be denied anybody from any walk of life, as long as they don't belong to God. And so Satan is, he'll use a pauper or a king, a child or an adult, and so he'll use a family member or a government official or just anybody from society to persecute God's children. And so really, when you think about it, the only people that are excluded from Satan's power and influence are those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of that, he don't care about resumes. He don't read resumes, okay? Whatever skin color, whatever the nationality, whatever, he will use them to bring hatred against God's children. And so the last thing we want to look at here is the second part of that verse. He says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." This is just in from a theological standpoint, this is speaking of the perseverance of the saints, which is deeper than what I can get into, but it just the perseverance or the endurance, if you will, during trials and persecution, especially in the end times, that is a fruit of salvation, is what's being said here. It's not saying if you endure to the end, that'll give you salvation. It's not what's saying. It's salvation is provided by grace through faith. We know that. We've learned that, okay? We know it's only by grace through faith. But that endurance to the end is a product of our salvation. It shows evidence of our salvation. So I'll repeat this. Persecution does not produce, perseverance does not produce salvation, but salvation produces perseverance. And so keep that in mind. Persecution, as the winds of persecution, if you will, began to blow, the chaff, we're going to be quickly taken away. Those that aren't truly saved, those that don't truly, they have a superficial attachment to Jesus, but they've never been truly born again. Those are going to be, for lack of a better term, blown away by the winds of persecution, because they had no attachment, no true attachment to Jesus. But and that's going to show evidence that they didn't belong to Jesus. But the wheat, the legitimate fruit that belongs to Jesus, those that are children of God, then will withstand those winds, and when it's all said and done, will still be a part of the harvest, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so persecution for you and I as believers, it might have a purifying effect on you and I. The fires might burn hot. It might be very difficult to go through, but if we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll persevere, we'll endure to the end, and that in itself will be a testimony of our true salvation, okay? Our bodies can be rendered lifeless, okay? But they can't take our soul, they can't take our spirit. We're eternally secure. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 38 and 39, he says, I'm persuaded, and Paul says this, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Pretty much Paul's covering everything there. He says, there's really nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, including persecution unto death. Okay? It can get bad. It won't be any fun. But in the end, we endure. Our salvation is secure in Christ. And so we win at the end of the day. Okay? Appreciate you guys very much. Pray for those people that have been mentioned. And plan on, if you can, staying for the meal Sunday. We'll have a great potluck meal. It ought to be a good turnout. And then we'll get back in here, and Brother David will preach about 10 minutes, and we'll all be dismissed. So, no, he'll do a good job. We'll have plenty of time to get out for the Super Bowl, and if that's what you want to do. If not, you can go home, do whatever you want. So, all right, let's stand and be dismissed. Word of prayer.